Awesome. Great. So we are tonight concluding our series on what it looks like where the Spirit of God is. And tonight we are looking at John 14, verse 15 to 21. And I'm going to do the reading. And Claire, I've got this, so I'll run through it with this. The reading is from John 14, verse 15 to 21. If you want to open your Bible apps or Bibles or anything like that, you're welcome to, but the words will be on the screen as well. So here's the reading. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So let us pray. Father God, thank you again for bringing us together tonight. Thank you for your word, and thank you for your Spirit, Lord. And I pray that now, by your Spirit, you will open up these words to us and speak to our hearts and to our minds, that we may love you better and act like we love you better. To the glory of your name, Lord. Amen. So, my son, Reuben, you may know him, is almost 5 years old, and he has been potty trained, and he is slowly but surely becoming more and more independent. But there is the odd occasion where he'd call from the bathroom just saying, "I'm done," and then Uncle or I need to go and help him. Usually, yeah, you know what happens sometimes. But also sometimes, like, he can undress himself. He can get undressed. We've taught him, and he's done it before, and so on. But sometimes he still asks to help, or he still asks help to get undressed, like before bath time or putting on his pajamas or something like that. And it seems like it's not just our family. There's this guy, William C. Schultz, who tells a similar story about his daughter. He says this: Laurie was about 3 when one night she requested my aid in getting undressed. I was downstairs and she was upstairs and, well, "You know how to undress yourself," I reminded. "Yes," she explained, "but sometimes people need people anyway, even if they do know how to do things by themselves." You can't really argue with that logic, right? I love that. I love that. I love how she sums it up. Sometimes people need people, even if they do know how to do things by themselves. I love that. We need each other, even when we know how to do things on our own. We need each other. And I think that is why Jesus called a group of 12 disciples together instead of just one guy to follow him. And I think that's why he sent out his followers in pairs when they went to minister to the towns around them, and not just one by one. I also think it's reflected in the creation story. You know, in Genesis, God says it is not good for man to be alone, so he creates a suitable helper in Genesis 2, verse 20 to 22. You can read that. Even though Adam was very capable of doing everything God created him to do. But God said it's not good that he's alone. We need each other. God knows that sometimes we need help, even though we know how to do things. And I think this is, at least in part, why Jesus promises another helper, the Holy Spirit, in today's reading, to be with the disciples when he leaves. He promises them that they will not be alone. You know, we know how to live, right? We get this right. We know how to live, but we need help to live to the full. We know how to love, right? But we need help to love like he did, like Jesus did. We know things We know things that we've learned and read by ourselves, but we need help to know him more. And Jesus promises the disciples and us, therefore, a helper. And this helper is given two distinct names in today's passage. He's called an advocate, and he's called the Spirit of Truth. Now, I geek out sometimes with words that have meaning in Greek or Hebrew or something like that. So the Greek word for advocate is parakletos, and it means called alongside to assist in Greek. It's a legal term for one who represents you at court and stands at your side to plead your case. Do you know what that's called in English? A lawyer. Yeah, that's right. It's a lawyer. An advocate. Some translations use the word comforter or encourager, which is a good choice of words again, because the Holy Spirit does not work instead of us or in spite of us, but he works in us and through us. He's an encourager and a comforter because he works in us and through us. We, as Christians, are not some hurdle or some obstacle to be overcome by the Spirit in building God's kingdom. We are not here getting in the way of what the Spirit is doing. That's not the plan. That's not the way God sees it. The Spirit invites us to be an integral part of his plan. That's one thing that we have to tell each other right at the start of this talk. We are not something to be overcome by the Spirit. We are here to be used by the Spirit, to be drawn into what the Spirit is doing. There's a story I heard once that goes, when Jesus arrived in heaven shortly after his ascension, all the angels surrounded him. And obviously this is a story, right? So like this, no one was there taking notes and recording this, but this is just a something to illustrate a point. So all the angels surrounded him and asked him with great anticipation, what's your next move? What's the next step? What's the plan? You beat sin and death. You're victorious. You came to heaven, and now what? Like, what are you going to do? And Jesus replied that he left his plan to save the earth to his disciples. And astonished, the angels asked Jesus whether he was serious or not. Like, really? Those guys cowering away in a room somewhere in the dark with closed shutters and that doesn't look like a really good plan. I mean, they told Jesus, you can just march down from heaven with a host of angel armies and just, you know, declare your victory over all the earth in an instant. What's your plan B? And Jesus said, there is no plan B. This is my plan. There is no plan B. These men and women are my plan. You know, we preach a lot about God's love for us. We remind ourselves of it often in song. Our worship songs are filled with wonder about the Almighty's undeserved, unearned, unending love for us. And that is good, right? It's always good to remember that God loves us. You know, it's wonderful, right? It's a good thing to be reminded that we are loved. And I want you to know and remember that tonight. Like, if you remember nothing else, remember this. God loves you so much that he sent his son to die on a cross so that you can be saved. That's how much God loves you. And it's good to be reminded. And it's good to be reminded of that fact often. But that's not where it ends. That's not where the story ends. Jesus also asks the Father, after his victory, to send the Holy Spirit for a purpose. The invitation to share in God's love for us is inextricably linked to the call to share in the labor as well. It's not just we are loved and that's the end of the story. It is we are loved and we are also useful in his kingdom. We are loved and we have worked. We have work to do. This is what Jesus says. If you love me, keep my commands. There's a sense of responsibility around this as well. It's not just airy-fairy, I love you, good night. If you love me, keep my commands. And Jesus knows that we can't do this on our own. We need help. Even though we know how to love, you know, if you have a husband or a partner or a boyfriend, girlfriend, if the child, a family member, a friend even, we know how to love, but we need help to love like Jesus loves us. We need help to love like God the Father loves us. So Jesus sends us his Spirit as a helper. Now we need to remember that Pentecost was not the first time that the Holy Spirit, you know, came to earth or appeared. The Spirit was there at creation. Right? If you read Genesis 1 and 2, the creation story, the Spirit hovered over the waters, over the chaos. He was there in the beginning, and he will be there, and he has been there until the present time, and he will always be there. In the Old Testament, the Spirit empowered people to do God's will. He gave them courage when they needed courage. He gave them prophecies when they needed prophecy. When they needed to hear God's word, he spoke through people. But he left. He would most of the time leave them again. You know, we read about God's Spirit leaving King Saul. Or King David prays in Psalm 51 that the Spirit of God will not be taken from him. The Spirit was not a sure presence in the Old Testament, but at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given to God's people to remain with them forever. He's not going away. Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse 20, the Great Commission, that he will be with us till the end of the age. So, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is, say it out loud, Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is Jesus. And the way we treat the Spirit of the Lord is then the way we treat Jesus Christ himself. Think about that for a moment. Do you think that's true? The way we treat the Spirit of the Lord is the way we treat Jesus Christ himself. Just think about that for a moment. But the Spirit is not only called a helper or an advocate, he's also called the Spirit of Truth. What does that remind you of? Anyone? Spirit of Truth. What does that remind you of? Anyone? There's no right or wrong answers. No. Anything can go. Anything. Law, right? Yeah. Anyone else? Justice, right? Yeah. So it's not subliminal messaging with the mallet on the screen. Yeah. When I read that within the context of this, I was reminded of a couple of verses before tonight's reading in John 14, verse 6, where Jesus says these words. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know me, him, and have seen him." If the Spirit is also the Spirit of Truth, he will always point to Jesus. There's this link that is somewhat of a mystery, somewhat of a unknown thing, but something of a real certainty. Of our triune God, the Trinity. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the way those three are linked, if you want some insight in that, I'd suggest you listen to the sermon recording from Keith Nurse on Trinity Sunday. He did a really good job there. So listen to that. It's on the church website. I'm not going to dive into that. But the main thing is that we need to remember is that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are linked. Even though they have distinct personalities and distinct different jobs, they are still the same God. So someone once explained the role of the Spirit to me in this way. He said, "It is as if the Spirit stands behind us, throwing light over our shoulder onto Jesus who stands facing us. The Spirit's message to us is never, look at me, listen to me, come to me, but always, look at him. and see his glory. Listen to him and hear his word. Go to him and have life. Get to know him and taste his gift of joy and peace. The thing is, if we choose to ignore the Spirit's call, we choose to ignore Jesus Christ himself. And this is most true for the seemingly unspiritual realities we face every day. It's easy to read a passage. I find it difficult sometimes to read a passage like we've had tonight and just get lost in all the words, and I am in you and you are in him, and if you do this, just get lost in and it becomes super spiritual. But there are very real world consequences if we believe this to be true. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 25:35. I'm going to read it out. It won't be on the screen, but just listen to this. You'll know the story when you hear it. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, the king who is Jesus, will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Now I can tell you, you can just look around you, and I can tell you the spotlight is shining on Jesus. And that spotlight is working overtime in our world today. You don't have to go very far to see Jesus in the poor and the needy right on our doorstep, even in leafy Richmond. There's a great need everywhere we look. And I do think the Holy Spirit is pointing those things out as we walk. There's a great need for people to know the support and the love only God can give. There's a great need for acceptance, leadership, and courage that comes only from knowing Jesus intimately. And we are the vessels to bring those things wherever the spotlight falls on Jesus Christ. If you love me, keep my commands. That is the command to love God and to love your neighbor, I think Jesus is referring to. Or to put it more simply, to love God by loving your neighbor. Now, luckily, we've been given a helper, a comforter, an advocate to help us in this seemingly overwhelming endeavor. And this is what Jesus says. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Jesus says, follow my commands. If you love me, if you say you love me, follow my commands, and I will give you a helper to follow my commands. We know how to love because we were made in God's image, right? We know how to love, but sometimes we need a little help, even though we know how to do things. So may we know the Spirit's presence and his power, his guidance and his support, his wisdom and his insight, and may we follow his light courageously and lovingly wherever he leads us. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for proving the Father's love to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding us of your love for us. Lord, I pray that it will not stop there. Lord, that we'll not just be takers of your love, but spreaders of your love, wherever you point us, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit. Will you give us the courage to follow you? Will you give us the resources to help, to support, to make your kingdom a reality in this world? And may everyone experiencing your love, Lord, bring you glory and honor and praise. So thank you, Father, that you have not left us as orphans, that you have not left us to try and figure out by ourselves, but that you are here with us now. So fill us again, we pray, and send us out in your Spirit, Lord, not by our own power, but by your Spirit alone. Amen.